This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. PostWrestlingCafe.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When Ryan's when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Raw with John Pollock and waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Raw for Monday night, downloaded Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Raw for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade take the mic.
And now it is time to get into our review of Raw. Welcome one, welcome all. It's Royal Rumble season, and you know what that means, Way. Strap on your life jackets, because it's time for the Royal Rumble pool, which is open, it's free to enter, and you've got until Friday night to get all of your picks in. The go-home Raw is in the books. You can now make your picks, because we know SmackDown will just be a regurgitation of what tonight's key points were. PostWrestling.com/Rumble. Get your picks in. If you're not, then you're a guaranteed loser.
How many of you aren't picking CM Punk? I want to know.
I mean, there could be some Logan Paul picks after tonight. Maybe some Jey Uso's. Does iShow Speed get into the Royal Rumble?
But you know what? These are very legitimate questions. Absolutely. When we're talking about surprise picks.
Surprise picks.
Yeah.
Anyone, iShow Speed and Kai Cenac, I will make the ruling. Those would be considered surprises.
Sure, of course. Yeah, if you're not on the active roster, I think you'd be considered a surprise.
Yes.
So, again, thank you, Chris Angler, our quizmaster, to be able to collect all of this data. I hope he'll be able to join us, maybe give us some interesting insight for some of your very creative picks that we've had in previous years.
Yes, the accounting firm of Chris Angler, LLC, will be documenting, and then he will pass us a briefcase that is handcuffed to his wrist on Monday, and we will get the confidential results and reveal them next Monday on Rewind to Raw.
Again, the deadline to enter is Friday, so make sure you log in, postwrestling.com/rumble. There will be prizes for the winners. We've yet to determine them, but you will get something beyond bragging rights, which I'm sure is the biggest reason.
Live stream of John and Way during our day. Me and Way are going to go on a walk, and we're going to stream it.
Would you commit to that? I don't know, going on a walk together. Would you commit to streaming any part of your private life?
No, I wouldn't. I don't think you would. People would tune out very quickly.
Midnight, basically 11:59 p.m. Eastern time on Friday is your.
But
last
get your
chance.
Picks in earlier, because you will fall asleep during SmackDown and you'll miss the deadline.
True, very true.
And last thing before we get into the review, Tuesday night, this is a message for our Double Double and Espresso members at PostWrestlingCafe.com. We're doing. We appreciate all of you at our Double Double and Espresso level. So as a thank you, we are doing a special 1 hour watch along with Brandon from New Jersey joining us. What is on tap? What is on the screen? The 1991 Royal Rumble from Miami, Florida, January 19th, 1991. And it kind of features a who's who of the era. So we will watch this Rumble. This was a choice by Mr. Brandon from New Jersey. So he will join us and we'll watch this and see how it holds up.
Yeah, and that's some of you might not even know what Double Double and Espresso is. Those are some of our premium tiers at postwrestlingcafe.com. You know, most of you, we're very grateful. If you subscribe to the $6 regular tier, we're very happy. Some of you guys choose to give extra support either at Double Double or at Espresso. And for those of you, we want to just maybe do a little bonus for you guys. Experimenting with these formats, you know, if you guys are interested enough in these, maybe we'll make watch-alongs a regular thing.
All right, so we hope to see many of you Tuesday night, and that's going to start at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll be sending out the notice during the day, but 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesday night, Double Double and Espresso members. Into Raw tonight, the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. WrestleTix reporting 12,082. Is that an impressive figure?
Yeah. Well, how big is this arena?
They called it a sellout. Like, this is, I'm sure with the set and everything, this was capacity of what they could fill. 12,082, folks, to put this into perspective, that was the lowest attendance for Raw this month. Wow. In January, over these four shows, they averaged over 14,000 fans per show on Raw, which is an incredible, incredible number. Cody is among the arrivals alongside Brandy and their daughter. The only appearance by Brandy and Child. They did not make appearances.
No, not on the TV. I believe they took a photo with R-Truth. That's on
maybe they had two seats that were left reserved all night and were unoccupied. Seth Rollins starts the show, and he states that he is going to win the Royal Rumble. None of them say, you know, I just want to make it to the Final Four. Everyone is winning it. They all have eyes on the prize. And he says he got off to a rough start this year, losing to CM Punk, and it forced him to ask the question, who are you? And that prompted everyone to chant CM Punk. He said, I'm Seth freaking Rollins, and no one on this planet is better than me when I'm focused. He beat Drew last week. He's going to continue to win this Saturday. And he lists off the names that he's going to throw out there, including Roman Reigns, who he puts extra emphasis on. And he wants Punk to be the last one in so he can send him out crushing his WrestleMania dreams. Gunther is only holding on to the title until I choose to go after it. But says the obvious pick is Gunther, but there's also Cody Rhodes. And wouldn't it be poetic to take the title from the guy that I helped win it last year? And he goes to pull the audience over who they think he should challenge when Gunther has heard enough. And he comes out, and despite the big reaction to how close he came to losing to Jay, just says, I beat that clown, Jay Uso, and don't get too excited about Jay because I beat his ass. He says, Rollins, you've been whining about all your drama. You need to cancel that noise out and focus on the Rumble if you still have it in you. And Gunther points out, it's 2025. You're not the best wrestler in this company anymore. My title proves it. So please win the Royal Rumble and please challenge me. I'll put you on your back. And as they're getting into this argument, Logan Paul is out and he gets destroyed by boos. There's also a Conor McGregor sign that reads that Conor is greater than Logan, that Logan Paul tears up. And man, he's getting tremendous heat here. And says, you two, referring to Rollins and Gunther, command attention because you're great at wrestling. I am great at everything. This era needs a new face, not these two Nimrods. And says, you two have hit your ceiling. I'm still climbing the stairs. And he's going to enter the Rumble, but he's not here to work harder. He's here to work smarter. He just needs to find a way to be there at the end. Gunther changes his mind. He now wants Logan Paul to win. Rollins brings back his laugh here and says he'll be the one to get embarrassed, referring to Gunther. So this was the continuation of this buildup for the Men's Rumble, where we literally need like a police board with all the string of all the various connections and who's fighting for what, who has scores to settle with who. I will just state, I think this might be the best built Rumble match they have done. I think it is that much depth and the thought they have put into these all. It's not like it's just 4 weeks till the Rumble. Let's build this up with some promos. It's like
that's the women's Rumble, John.
I will talk about the women's one after. This is like months. This is like a year of various stories that have all slowly built to this month of all these different combinations. And you have all these different, like, yes, Punk might be your favorite, but they have made compelling arguments for a bunch of people. And there's all these different scenarios. They've involved the champions really effectively between Cody and Gunther that they did tremendous jobs with. The byproduct of this is the obvious comparison to the Women's Rumble that lacks everything of what I've just outlined here. And it feels like, hey, it's the Royal Rumble. It'll be a fun match and you'll have a big story coming out of it, but not going into it. There's a big disparity between the two. But this men's match, I just think, and tonight's show was a really, like, for a go-home show, I thought this was really well done, starting with this segment.
Yeah. I think we've seen this Levesque era take advantage of what the Rumble is able to offer. And that is a specific goal for everybody on the roster. Certainly everybody with a believable chance of having a title opportunity at any point, you know, close enough to a WrestleMania. It's giving them story that's automatically built in. All you have to do is just give us a promo like this or some involvement associating even a Logan Paul to somebody like Gunther, just to be able to give us the visualization that they might actually become, or, you know, somebody who might main event at WrestleMania. Most of the guys we're not necessarily going to believe, but even so, it's the goal that they have that gives them that character development. And even if they don't win the Rumble, they at least leave with a story. They leave with motivation. They leave with some characterization. And they might even leave with a feud, which is hopefully what most of these guys who don't win the Rumble will come out of this with. So it's just taking great advantage of, I think, this wonderful device that they have built into this Rumble to WrestleMania system that in years past, you know, hasn't really been fully utilized.
That you've put all these different options out there. You'll go with whoever wins Saturday. You're going to have like eight people that don't win. And in essence, you, by building this Rumble so well, by default, you've also built Elimination Chamber, because you have all these losers that all still have like that loss coming out of next Saturday, and they have to rebound from that. And then you have them all gunning for this last chance as well. So, I mean, if they play their cards right, they have just set up all these different scenarios and directions and misdirection. And there is stuff like Logan Paul and Gunther is a match that we're probably not going to see anytime soon. But we could see it way, way down the road, and you could always reference this. And at worst, it's an option that's out there. It's just another thing thrown in there. And I just think they have done such a super effective job at this men's match.
Agreed.
Kathy Kelly is with CM Punk backstage, and Punk is stating he will throw anyone out, including Logan Paul, including Kathy Kelly, if she were to enter the Royal Rumble, which I don't know if she would declare for that particular Rumble, but maybe. Sami Zayn walks in and points out how Punk stated Zayn wasn't on his level last week. And, you know, I thought he was going to say, but nice burn on Hogan, Punk. But he says, yes, I did say that. And Zayn acknowledges, you know what? We're not on the same level because I headlined WrestleMania. And that's the big zinger that everyone's got over Punk. It's either I've headlined WrestleMania or you left this company. Those are the two I guess zingers that you have over CM Punk.
It just, you know, underscores Punk's motivation here. He does, like, winning the championship is one thing for him, but his goal isn't necessarily to become champion again. It's to main event WrestleMania, the thing that he's never done, that I think, you know, has sort of almost become a legend of like how pissed off he is about something like that. So, I mean, this was certainly, in some ways, maybe slightly uncharacteristic of a Sami Zayn to like kind of like hit somebody in a sensitive area like this. But I mean, it's also done in service of whatever evolution that they're trying to build within Sami Zayn, and that's somebody who might be sooner or than later showing maybe a slightly more offensive side.
Well, it was either this line about headlining WrestleMania, or the alternative verbiage could have been, well, Punk, I'll see you this Saturday in Indianapolis, the home of my team, because I'm a big fan of the Colts.
Ooh.
Zayn leaves Punk and then walks into Karrion Kross, and Kross tells him, you've got to stop whatever you're doing. You need to listen to Rollins and Owens. Start doing things for yourself. Zayn basically cuts him off, says, I don't know what you're trying to do here, but just stop. Stop shooting your own angles with me. I'm not working with you. And Kross says, well, don't listen to me. Listen to the others then. This is a huge opportunity for you at the Royal Rumble. And Cody is left to contemplate this. And then Cody shows up, and this spooks Zayn, who is caught off guard by Cody. And there you go. Sami Zayn is on edge, as we would see him later in the night.
Yeah, so a lot of focus, obviously, on Sami Zayn here, which, you know, to me, certainly does continue teasing that they've got a big character evolution for Sami Zayn that I feel could very well peak towards Elimination Chamber, you know, their big stadium show in Canada. So expect something big to happen to Sami Zayn, either in the Rumble or certainly in the weeks following the Rumble and the lead up to Elimination Chamber. But this kind of starts it off. I mean, we kid about Karrion Kross, but if you're going by Karrion Kross's own logic, every feud he has had has resulted in some significant change in his opponents, okay? And go back to the promo where he, like, made some crazy explanation about how, like, he caused AJ to you know, turn bad, or, like, I almost forget who he's feuded with at this point, but at least in recent months...
Nakamura,
sure. At least in recent months, he was certainly right about the New Day and right about Xavier Woods. So, I mean, it seems like we're separating Woods... Or, sorry, The Miz... The Wyatt Six from Karrion Kross, and we're placing Karrion Kross with Sami Zayn, or at least being the sort of like devil on his shoulder to perhaps influence Zayn to, you know, go bad. And I think it's a promotion for Karrion Kross, quite frankly. You know, somebody back there obviously sees enough talent in him as a device to be able to, you know, utilize him in a role like this. And I'm kind of curious to see it, because I've been a fan of like what Karrion Kross has been doing. I'm very curious to see what a Sami Zayn with that sort of influence will turn into.
We do have to say this for Karrion Kross. He really got over the loss of The Miz pretty damn quick, and his admission that he masterminded the Wyatt Six being moved there. I mean, Kross, he was cool with this. No addressing any of this.
The only addressing you got was last week during a commercial break in an interview with Jackie, and he just pretty much like blew it off then. I mean, I think that was a very clear sign of like, we're just going to abort this like storyline. We're not going to give you any resolution. Like, nobody really cares, so let's just kind of move you on. But I don't think, clearly they're not done with Karrion Kross. If anything, they gave him a bigger role here. The other interesting part of this, of course, was the Cody interaction where, Cody kind of comes in like, you know, expecting a hug, and Zayn just kind of...
How about his Royal Rumble tan?
This might just be the JPEG, but I believe this is a screenshot of somebody taking a photo on their phone. You actually think it's his tan?
I'm just going by what I'm looking at. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know how a screenshot would give the man such a glow, but perhaps...
I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter. But I think you're clearly supposed to read into this as like Sammy being somewhat having some sort of feeling about Cody, you know, whether it be jealousy or something. I think that's what you're supposed to read into it. And of course, that this will play into the final segment of the night.
Jackie interviewed Austin Theory and Grayson Waller in the crowd as Theory remarks, "He's the best thing to come out of this city." And he looks over, "And I only needed one chain to do it." And there is two chains. This might have been the best line Austin Theory has ever uttered. And then they remark about the tag match coming up between the Biker Boys and the Gas Station Boys, referring to the War Raiders and Dom and JD. And then we are showing Lil Yachty, Two Chains, and Quavo. Now, far be it for me to, you know, write out a production sheet here, but would it not have been a little more impactful for Quavo to make his first appearance with Jey Uso rather than we do this?
I don't think it matters, honestly. Anyway.
The Creed's another one of my favorite rap groups. They were also shown right after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just random Brutus and Julius are here.
Mm-hmm.
So the War Raiders take on Dom and JD here. Judgment Day come out to a new rap theme. Did you hear this?
No, I skipped through it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I mean, sometimes I'm like...
Understood.
Pausing and writing my notes, and I just don't... I have to catch up with it by skipping entrances. Was it a good rap song?
It sounds fine. Yeah, it's like a totally different theme for them to come out to than before.
Okay.
Where it was just kind of the brooding kind of a theme that they had. So the beginning of this match featured one of the scariest spots I have seen on a WWE show in some time, as did Michael Cole. JD McDonagh goes for an Asahi moonsault, and he gets so much height on this thing, and he does it on the side of the ring where the commentators are. So there's so little room in this area. Like, there's a reason guys typically do it on the opposite side facing the entrance. So he comes down and he lands on top of Ivar, and the momentum cracks the back of his head so fast, like the velocity that he sends himself into this desk. And Michael Cole is like audibly concerned. He is screaming for someone to come check on him. And then they show the replay. I don't know why they're always so obsessed with, like, before we even know if this guy's okay, let's get that replay. And this replay, dude, I like got up off of my seat. I thought this guy might be paralyzed. The speed at which he went into this was alarming. And yet this guy just got up and continued the match. They did note, I think this was during the commercial break for the international viewers, Michael Cole noted that one of the they did have a medical like one of the doctors come down to examine him and was waved off by JD. And like JD continued, he did everything in the match. He didn't seem like he was out of sorts, but still, like, I mean, God, hopefully he's okay, because sometimes you will get through a match and then later when there's the come down, hopefully he was okay. This was just so frightening to watch.
It was very, very concerning to listen to, especially through the voice of Michael Cole, who, I mean, he's amazing.
He was very concerned because he's right there and heard it and probably saw the angle of his head hitting. Like, it was just this replay, like, to show someone this and then explain that they got up and continued, like, you just would not believe it. Like, he got so lucky that he was okay.
Yeah, he's a man. I'm speaking of Michael Cole, who has been in these scenes. I mean, we remember Jerry Lawler, that incident where he suffered a heart attack and all you could really hear was Michael Cole asking for help. And you never want to be that person in that position where, like, you know, you want to tell everybody, hey, this isn't part of the show. Like, everybody, somebody actually go check on him. Like, we are all, like, feeling that sort of panic. And, you know, these are moments when you're watching this thing that you often feel uneasy, you know, and not necessarily comfortable. So, I mean, you just kind of have to trust that the doctors did their appropriate checks. But throughout the rest of the match, I was certainly like feeling a certain way about, I don't know whether or not I should be watching this guy continue to wrestle.
I certainly, like, just watching this, like, I understand every performer is going to believe that they're okay. Like, certainly if they had just made the call, like, I don't think anyone would have had any concern with this. Like, you just want to make sure that this, and there were like spots on his neck, like after, like, Eric did this. It was like a full Nelson into like an inverted GTS. And he just nails him in the back of the neck. But I mean, JD did, like, he did moonsaults in this. He did all of his big spots. And, like, you know, they worked like a 12 minute match afterwards. And this Asai moonsault happened like in the first 60 seconds of the match. And,
yeah,
you know,
we should also, at least at this point, speak about Dakota Kai. And how last week's, so the reports are is that she's just hurt. Hasn't been confirmation that it was that dropkick from Zoe Stark, but I think everybody remarked how devastating that dropkick looked. And knowing that she could have possibly been concussed and continued to wrestle the match, you don't want to feel good about that, you know?
It's a great point that, again, like, she continued, she finished the match, and, you know, that is where a concussion, it's like, it's a secondary blow that is the most concerning. And sometimes in these cases, like, we just watch in a vacuum. Well, he finished the match, and, you know, for precaution, like, is this absolutely make or break? Like, maybe let's just be safe and make sure he is okay. Like, adrenaline will carry you through an incredible amount. Just hopefully this is, like, knock on wood, he was just fine from all of this. But it's a great point with Dakota Kai, who last week, and like afterward, they found out, like, you know, she's not okay.
Yeah, for me, maybe an ankle is one thing, maybe like even a torn pec is one another, but when it's the neck and the head
and neck that are the concerns. Yeah. Yes. All that said, I mean, I thought these four had like a really great match here where, you know, Cole and Pat McAfee, to their credit, like, they adjusted their commentary because they're like reacting in real time here to JD and basically just, we're glad he's okay and look how tough this guy is. And they pretty much like babyface JD McDonough here afterwards, which was, I'm sure, like, just their real life feelings here of what they like averting a disaster on live television. So JD eventually distracts the referee, allowing Carlito to show up, spits the apple onto Ivar. And for the first time in history, of all those broken guitars and missed, we had Michael Cole point out, can't the ref see all the apple that's on the mat? And no, the answer is no. The referee can never see that. And it leads to Eric shoving JD to break the cover after a frog splash, and they got the near fall. The War Raiders cut off a 619 and hit the War Machine on Dominic, 11:54, and they really just put over the toughness of JD McDonagh at the top of this. So, I mean, the story of that match was just JD just averting what could have been a really, really bad deal at the beginning of this one.
Yeah, well, it was certainly a very engaging match, and unfortunately due to something that, you know, was a potential real injury. But nonetheless, I think it drew me into the actual drama that they were trying to build artistically in the match afterwards, and I thought all the work with it was very good.
These four were very good together.
Yeah, the War Raiders, I mean, you know, it's clear their appeal is that they're big guys who could do like these sort of like fast moves that the cruiserweights can do, and it feels like they've been very successful at like making, you know, interesting fun to watch title defenses for them that works for this audience, that's working for this current title reign. I would still like a bit more, you know, personality, a bit more sort of like character. Clearly their association with Damian Priest is over now that Priest is on SmackDown. So now they're just kind of like back to just being themselves again. And, you know, much like the Machine Guns, I mean, it seems like they're trying to book the tag division just mainly based off of the in-ring quality and maybe less so on the the behind the scenes stuff, which if you're looking at DIY and all that other shit, like maybe the less behind the scenes, the better, the more in ring, the better for all these guys. But I thought Dominic and JD together were excellent, you know, like just bringing that sort of like cruiserweight pace and also obviously gaining some great heel reactions from the crowd for Dom.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Plus, two editions of Rewind Away. We will revisit Bret Hart's heel run in the WWF NXT TakeOver New Orleans from 2018. Plus, we have coverage of AEW Grand Slam Australia, New Beginning in Osaka, an Ask Away, Ask Us Anything mailbag show, and of course, Captain America 4 and Collision Course every single Saturday night. All that and more at postwrestlingcafe.com. Pete Dunne meets with Ludwig Kaiser. I can only hope this is a new alliance. I don't know about the prospects of these two together. This really feels like just taking two loose ends and putting them together. I mean, Kaiser is a man. We were so high on where Kaiser was going post Gunther, but I mean, he's closer to Vinci than he is
should
Gunther.
He should be split up from Gunther.
He in some ways he is. Like it's almost like a loose alliance that they have at this point. Like it's kind of, they're both doing their own things.
But as long as Gunther is on the show, like I just don't necessarily see the writers, like there's such similar characters still, you know?
I mean, they could just split them up in the whether it's Gunther going to SmackDown or Kaiser going to SmackDown, they could just split them away. But they are approached by the New Day, and Dunn and Kaiser just walk off. They want nothing to do with the New Day. And Kathy Kelly is there, and Kofi notes that Atlanta's favorite son is here tonight, and she goes through Bron Breakker, Austin Theory, Cody Rhodes, and no, it is Xavier Woods. And Woods bought front row tickets for his family. Guy couldn't even get comps in his hometown. But these would not have been cheap seats. He got quite a few in the front row, at least three. Then we had
sometimes I forget how many wrestlers are from Atlanta.
There's four right there off the top. Yeah. So they were all out in full force. So that is leading us to Rey Mysterio and Xavier Woods. The New Day come out, and Woods is just yelling at fans not to touch him and to respect that my family is here. And they make fun of the Atlanta Hawks, and Michael Cole got in a good line. I think this was during the commercial that, oh, they just insulted the local sports team. Wow. Michael Cole just less filter during his the international feed.
Oh, you're getting commercial break Cole.
Yes. All announcers succumb to commercial break sarcasm. And then we see just this row of empty seats. So his family has shown up late. I don't know what that says about the overall Raw product. Maybe they thought they had tickets to SmackDown. They knew, let's just come for like the last bit. And then if you want like completely out of nowhere, no context, no story, no explanation, Zelina Vega has been moved to SmackDown. Tonight's her last night on Raw. Just like that. Like nothing, no rationale. Just we're taking her out of the LWO and she's moving to SmackDown. Say goodbye.
Yeah, I do feel bad for her. Like at one time, this LWO I thought was gaining a lot of steam. Certainly, you think back to the show in Puerto Rico and what a big deal it seemed then. And for it to just end like this, like off screen, essentially by mention from Michael Cole, not even like an on screen like goodbye, is very disappointing for the way that they're treating them.
Just a nothing move.
Yeah.
Woods comes off the turnbuckle with a double stomp onto the back of Ray, and then it's Ray hitting the code red for a two count after a sunset bomb. Woods shoves Ray into the desk, and Woods finally sees his family and walks up to them and asks, "Where have you been?" And his father, mother, and sister take off. And Lil Yachty here, who is not part of Woods' family, but was seated with them. Maybe Woods bought him a ticket, too.
Well, maybe he's now a part of the family after this.
Okay, well, maybe. They all reveal New Day Sucks shirts, and these shirts are going to sell so well. And much like the Cena Sucks shirts or whatever that they used to sell, all these royalties will go to the New Day. So that's great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. So the family here, they were pretty amusing. And then they return to the ring. It leads to a 619 off the distraction, and Ray drops the dime to win in 10:56. And then the family is applauding Ray, who comes over and puts the shirt on as well. Dude, Xavier's father was my favorite. I mean, this man he was just like, I don't want to screw this up for my son. And he was just stoic here.
I love these integrations of like the New Day's parents.
It felt so organic. Like they had gone through the bare bones of rehearsal, but these are not trained performers. That made it more genuine.
I have we ever seen like the parent of any wrestler be integrated into a storyline and have it not turn out well?
It's got a very high success rate. I mean, we had Kofi's mom not too long ago. I mean, say nothing
Mrs.
of Cody's
dad,
Cody's mother,
Brett's mom. I mean, all you know, the queen, Helen herself, you know, it's always great.
So Rollins meets Zayn in the locker room, and Zayn repeats that the Helluva kick last week was an accident. And Rollins notes, "We go way back. We go way back. Ring of Honor." He says that, you know, I believe you, but your relationship with Reigns doesn't rest easy with a lot of people, including me. And if this happens again, I can't be so sure that it was an accident. And Zayn's like, okay, but we're good. And they're good. They have a nice hug, a bro hug.
They're good for now. But if one more of these occurs, then we got a problem.
Did he mean an accidental kick to him or an accidental kick, period?
See, I wasn't really sure, but I imagine we will get some tension between the two. So they're teasing a lot between Rollins and Zayn, and I continue to wonder if they might be each other's WrestleMania partners.
Jackie Redmond is going to interview CM Punk on the countdown. They're doing a two-hour countdown before the Royal Rumble at 4 o'clock for, I don't know, the sickos of WWE. Jey Uso comes out with Quavo, a huge reaction here. They come out, this place goes insane.
Amazing.
For
amazing.
Jey. Like this was quite the Uso entrance, and he just gets out, and it was like a 5-minute entrance. Like he is now the Sandman. And
The entrances are longer than the matches sometimes.
That's it. I mean, there's a lot of like people that are just here to do the entrance with him, including Quavo here with his Stone Cold championship. And he tells the fans, I really needed that after the loss on Saturday, but I need to win the Royal Rumble to main event WrestleMania. So Jey Uso's in the mix. Pat McAfee then gets on the mic and he tells Atlanta that was the best yeeting performance they have ever seen. And then he walks over to Xavier Woods' family. I'm like, yes. And he interviews the sister. It's like, what has happened to Xavier Woods? He's like, well, he turned bad, so that's not good. And then the mother is interviewed. Unfortunately, he didn't talk to the father. He sidestepped dad and went right to Lil Yachty, who he's just here for Rhea Ripley. And that was it. I was so baffled by this man being so tied to the Woods family here. Like, just it was like he's part of the family.
I thought it was hilarious. I mean, it's just like a random integration of like a celebrity. I think they've actually like in this, at least over the past week, I think they found some really great ways to integrate the celebrities on these shows by not having them do too little, but still getting them involved somehow into building some sort of like antagonistic scene like we saw with Matthew McConaughey on Friday. Like they're not overexposed to the point of like, you know, they're guest hosting the show and like they're having to make matches and do bullshit like that. They're just doing enough to make it feel like they're having fun, but not too much, you know?
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job with the stuff. And honestly, like a lot of the commercial stuff that we were getting internationally, they were very entertaining on tonight's show, I thought, overall. Like, I thought tonight was like the best usage, where it was like I was actually looking forward to some of these segments because they were really fun. And just sending Pat out with the live audience is a
great,
like, for once a show to just do 2 minutes of like fan interaction or do something with like the Woods family here. It worked well.
Yeah.
And then we go to Jackie Redmond with Lyra Valkyria. She is a fighting champion, and it's time to find out who's going to challenge me for this. But first, I have higher goals. I'm entering the Royal Rumble. I was like, what? It's time for me to go for something bigger, basically was the message we got here. An American Maid enters, and Gable warns her that Ivy Nile is going to win that title for me. I mean, for the team.
Yes.
Do you know if this was like 2009, he'd be like dressing as a woman to win this Intercontinental title?
I mean, I don't know if we can completely write that off. You know, I imagine if Ivy Nile wins this championship, it'll be Chad Gable holding it.
Oh, man. Right? From Santina to Chad Gabella. Or yeah,
Chad's
Gabriella.
A tough name.
Yeah, that's a tough one. There's not a natural...
Yeah.
Fix for a Chad.
Yeah. Well, listen, Lyra needs something, man. And
Chad Gable versus Lyra Valkyria. I would totally
take that.
That
match would be awesome. Are you kidding me? But no, we won't get that. But still, like, you know, Lyra's won this championship for what, like 2 weeks now, and like we've got nothing from her for it. And it's going to be tough for Lyra. You know, she's the type of wrestler that's going to get more over just by wrestling rather than talking. And all she's had to do in these few weeks is talk. And unfortunately, it's not really doing her any favors. So we wait to see if like a feud will maybe kind of create that extra spark. But like, I hope she really finds it during this run.
Well, Niall, in case people are, it's like, can you say something personal towards Lyra? Can you make this a bit of a really cut deep? And she told Lyra that she's going to eliminate her and clip those little bird wings.
Oh, man.
Lyra's like, yes. You bitch. How dare you? And then we go off and Alpha Academy are making a TikTok video with Maxine, and Gable just freaks out and calls them embarrassments while Niall insults Maxine.
See, I thought like one of these teams would be split by now. Like they seem to have had their blow off match already, and I imagine we're waiting for a trade of some sort.
Yeah, these were for some of those commercial breaks. This could have been a commercial break for just the in arena portion. We could have skipped all of this. Naomi and Bianca Belair against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, coming off the tag on Friday where Belair and Naomi were on the losing end to Morgan and Rodriguez's team. So the idea here, it's a non-title match, and Liv and Raquel could be in line if they win a match here. They also note that last year in the Royal Rumble, Naomi was eliminated by Jade Cargill, who has not been completely forgotten. But boy, this is quite the investigation that they have been undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who's going to return first, Jade Cargill or Randy Orton, who we are led to believe are both like in comas?
Maybe we add to that list Ricky Starks or Ray Phoenix. Who shows up first?
Oh, okay. This could be quite the horse race to find out who's back for. I mean, for all that we see of like Cody took like the package pile driver back in no time. Like,
A Jade Cargill was found lifeless on top of a car.
Okay, I'm giving her a break, but like, okay. Randy, it's like this pile driver. I was like, you know, Penta's out here doing Canadian destroyers every week. I mean, how bad could Randy be?
Not every, you know, neck injury is the same. You know, we don't know about miles on a person's body. We don't know the angle at which the neck might have broken.
Okay, well. Raquel lawn darts Naomi into the post from the floor, and there's a hand. Belair eventually gets the tag, makes a big comeback. Belair comes is hit with a tree slam from Raquel, and then the Tahana bomb gets countered, and Naomi enters with a slingshot face buster and follows with the code breaker, and Liv tries to catch her with Oblivion, but it's to Belair, who turns it into the KOD, and she's got the match won when Dominic shows up to distract the referee, and then Belair takes out Dominic on the floor. Naomi goes for the split-legged moonsault, but Raquel drags her off of Liv and hits the Tahana bomb on the edge of the apron, allowing Liv to pin Naomi in 12 minutes and 33 seconds, and they explain that Dominic is trying to get out of the doghouse and came in big here to assist the women here, which I guess this is our tag title direction at some point with these two.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the fact that they won this match suggests that we're going to get that match sooner or later. Do you see the title change happening?
I could, yes. I don't know if you really need it for what this Bianca, Naomi, Jade story is leading to. And mm-hmm. when you're ready to do that, if that's a Mania program, you probably want the tag belts off of them. And then you can proceed forward with whatever the story is going to be, if it's Naomi or if that's just the red herring and they're going to reveal something else. But this Jade story, I feel once the Rumble's out of the way, we kind of got to get moving on this.
Yeah. It opens the door for singles matches with all of them. And I at this point, I do imagine maybe at Mania, that might be the direction you might have for Belair or Jade if she's back, and or Naomi.
Out comes Kai Cenat. I won't lie, when I just saw like Kai show up on the Tron, I thought Dakota Kai was coming out to explain what happened. But it is Kai Cenat. I was like, oh, duh. And so Michael Cole says he is a massive fan, but this is his first ever WWE event. It took him a while to get to a show.
You know, not everybody, like he's too busy streaming. Not everybody goes to shows. People might prefer the at-home experience. These tickets are expensive.
They are these days, yes. But you know, he was born a month after Julia Hart.
Oh, okay. Well, this one doesn't surprise me so much because he's a part of a stream of media that I think is only watched by people around his age or younger.
So Pat McAfee invites him to the Royal Rumble in his hometown, and he agrees. He's like, you know what? I've never gone to a WWE show. I'm going to go to two this week. And like I Show Speed, he's being given a full court press to record whatever you want. And he says, I'm going to see Speed this Saturday. And I don't think he meant the Keanu Reeves movie.
No, I don't think so. Nor the Twitter championship 3-minute matches.
Yeah, that's probably not what this is leading to either.
No, I don't think so.
These two. I totally see these two having some kind of integration Mania stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, the fact that they're doing all of this like celebrity stuff for the Rumble, I mean, would suggest that they're probably going to do it even bigger for Mania. So, again, we're seeing this TKO like endeavor machine working. Where I mean, I'm sure like in the Vince era, you might have had something like this too. But I don't know if this show would have felt as young as it currently does. You know, with like
you don't see Vince sitting down with iShow Speed and Kai Cenat.
I you know what? I wonder. Yeah, not these days. No, not anymore. But yeah, like
one of them's going to enter the Rumble and stream their.
That would be like they would
like,
love.
They're going to be in and out, and they will stream their like 30 seconds in the Rumble before they're thrown out.
I think
they
could
totally see that idea.
I could totally see that too. Yeah, it's similar to the Logan thing. You know, when he did that dive with the TikTok.
Yeah.
This would be even greater than that. I think that's a great idea. Both of them could have that.
They could. Like, I see them totally.
That would be insane. There is such a thing as too much, like, ridiculousness. And
well, they might be testing it. We're in Atlanta, so that means dive into the archives, and this featured Michael Cole's one and only WrestleMania match in 2011, and then they got a slow-motion replay of his interaction with Quavo, where they go to shake hands. And Cole misses him. The fact they got this slow motion replay, I thought was the best. This was so good. If you're listening to this, you just need to go back and watch this. But I laughed out loud at this, that they fucking found this clip and just showed it to just have fun with this guy.
Oh, the cameras are always on.
Oh, man. Yeah. This was great. This was right out of like the cringe subreddit. Then we had a Penta video with he got the same subtitleist that Shinsuke Nakamura employs, and he is here to face the best in the world, and he is entering the Royal Rumble. So, got his spot. Paul Heyman comes out, sans Roman Reigns, so no Roman Reigns on this show. To obviously, at one point, was planned for it, but whatever the deal was, I mean, they, after that, that was that first night on Netflix. They announced this for January 27th, and they never promoted it again after that. So obviously sometime they realized Roman would not be available for this. So Heyman was out to reveal the cover art with Reigns on the front cover for 2K25 with Heyman in the corner of the art, and explains that it is one versus all at the Royal Rumble. Roman took back his Ulafala. Now he's going to take his championship back. It all begins this Saturday. He's the biggest star on the planet. When Elon Musk colonizes Mars, he'll be the biggest star on that planet too. And there are 29 Roman wannabes in that locker room who want to be the biggest star. Reigns mimics them being on their hands and knees praying to God to be Roman Reigns. And out comes Drew McIntyre. The crowd is chanting for Roman. Not tonight. He says, "I am the daddy of the bloodline." And Drew takes us back to the entire, the germ of what would mature to become the bloodline. He won the Royal Rumble in 2020, eliminating Roman Reigns last, and then going to WrestleMania to defeat, quote, the Beast, and then sending him and by connection, Paul Heyman, into obscurity. And Heyman had to find relevancy and be able to get into the ear of Roman Reigns. And that started the relationship between the two. But it all began with Drew vanquishing Brock Lesnar and says, "You owe me a thank you." So Heyman thanks him, but then says, "You're crowding me." Drew says, "I have a message for your boy. Tell him that I'm going to throw his lifeless carcass out of the ring. So pass that along." And Heyman says, "I will pass that message to Roman Reigns." Drew said, "Reigns already knows I'm coming for him. I meant your boy, CM Punk." Mm-hmm. This is a great segment these two had.
Very good. Yeah, two of the best talkers in the WWE, certainly. Drew, which was unanimous on our best of lists for the four of us, and Paul Heyman, who I feel like is usually a unanimous pick for that category, so this couldn't not be good. Most interesting, of course, is the continued allusions to CM Punk and Paul Heyman's relationship. And earlier in the clip that we saw with Jackie, a teaser for that interview that they're going to show on the kickoff,
The favor.
It was Punk directly addressing speculation about his favor having to do with an associate of Paul Heyman's. So we're speculating a lot, especially towards the Rumble, that this favor could be cashed in on at the Rumble. And who could it be? Who is an associate of Paul Heyman? Who are the suspects?
Maybe it's just some old ECW master tapes he wants access to.
That he would
that
want
Heyman
to,
didn't hand over in bankruptcy.
He's going to call for these ECW master tapes while in the Rumble match. It's down to the final two. I'm on the apron. I'm about to be thrown out. Paul, give me Guilty as Charged, 1996.
Give me the fan cam from the Elks Lodge to get me through this.
Like, I feel like they're trying to get us to think about Brock Lesnar. Now, a CM Punk Brock Lesnar association, like, in more ways than one, especially in modern times, would not make any sense at all. I still maybe think like Brock would be such a too much of a sensitive topic, but who else would fit the bill of Paul Heyman associate that could help a CM Punk?
Curtis Axel.
Oh, he's there, isn't he? Doesn't he work in the back?
No.
He's not an agent or anything?
No, Curtis Axel is a free agent. He could be brought in immediately this Saturday.
I think we cracked the case, yeah.
Claudio's not available. Yeah. I am never going to discount the idea.
Gabe Sapolsky.
Well, it's Royal Rumble night one of one. Indy, maybe he'll have those master tapes for him. That'll be part of the agreement. This is quite the favor for Punk to call in. I certainly do not dismiss Brock being someone that they are going to entertain at some point. You can look at it of two ways, and it's I'm not going to call it astounding, but it is like confirmation of any slight doubt you had regarding Conor McGregor is just like it's that this man was like all over this BKFC show on Saturday night. You're talking 17,000 people in Philadelphia. Everyone's fantasy booking what fights he'll be in. It's just like completely somebody that they like if you're TKO and you look at this and it's you know, there is no harm in that. Now, on the other side of things is like you like pro wrestling is a different beast. And Hulk Hogan is a hero in these UFC settings. And you saw what happened of a few weeks ago. What reception would Brock get? Would it be negative? If like maybe so. Would it evaporate over several weeks? Probably. And the other one, throwing out all of the what would the reaction be? What would the attention, negative attention be? Is the fact that Brock stands to be one of, if not the largest recipients of this whole antitrust suit. When those payments are made, Brock
from the UFC. Just
from the UFC, from that settlement, Brock might be the one getting, like, we're talking like well into the seven figures that Brock is going to be receiving. That, I mean, if his motivation is not there, he is certainly not in a position where he needs it. And TKO does not need it either. But yeah, if there's a storyline idea, I do not dismiss that as an idea that this could all, lead to.
Having him come out as Punk's favor that Punk has requested would seem like a really odd fit for the character of CM Punk. But I'm just maybe racking my brain about what else it could possibly be.
Well, we go to Jackie Redmond, and she is with Bron Breakker, and he's put Sheamus behind him. He is now focused on the Royal Rumble. Half the guys in this match are senior citizens and they're no match for me. It's not 2014 anymore. And he declares himself when Penta walks in and just gives the Cero Miedo sign. Easy night of work for Penta as both are in the Rumble. And, you know, I do another person that we did not see on tonight's show was Bill Goldberg. And as much as they have already shot the angle with Gunther, it's Braun and Goldberg that would be, to me, the pairing that I think would be really intriguing.
It would be. Yeah. Did Goldberg say how many matches he would have this year?
He just said he was going to do his retirement match.
Okay. Well, it didn't necessarily say he was going to do only one match, you know, could have several.
From what I recall, yeah, that was his wording, was right. He was just going to do his retirement match.
Okay.
But they've done the angle with Goldberg, with Gunther. But yeah, no Goldberg on this show.
So. Braun Goldberg would be an excellent way to pass the torch if that was the goal.
It's just like, you know? Gunther can certainly gain something from it, but Braun could gain a lot from that. Sure. A lot.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Main event is Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn, and we get Drew is now 10-0 in singles match. At a certain point, it is a little ridiculous. Like, now that we're at 11-0, he is against this guy. It's like, okay, so you become 11-1. I don't know. Is it really a moral victory at that point?
The goal
is like a broken clock being right twice a day.
Yeah.
So early on, Zayn hits a tilt-a-whirl DDT, and he gets his nose cut. And there was a not insignificant amount of blood that this guy just had all over his wrist wraps and stuff. I mean, this was quite a bit of blood here that he was dealing with. He recovers, and Zayn ends up getting sent into the timekeeper's area. They tease the count out. Zayn makes it back. He won't quit. And then a white noise off the turnbuckle is turned into a sunset bomb by Zayn. Drew blocks the exploder and wrangles him, takes him over top with a belly-to-belly. Zayn comes back with the blue thunder bomb, and then Drew misses the claymore, and there's a crucifix for a two count, hits the exploder, and then sets up for the haluva, but he misses, and it's Drew rolling him up, using the rope for leverage to pin Zayn. And yes, he is 11-0 against Sami Zayn. The match is over, but Drew continues the attack when Atlanta's own Cody Rhodes runs down. He's got to get on this show somehow. And he hits the Cody Cutter onto Drew. Then Kevin Owens appears. He jumps Cody. Drew joins in. And then Zayn winds up for the most reckless finisher in all of pro wrestling, the goddamn Huluva kick. And he runs, and again we get friendly fire as he misses Drew. It's like all these heels have eyes in the back of their head. They're ready for this thing. And he waffles Cody in the head with the Huluva kick. And dude, until this final promo, my favorite moment on this was the way Kevin Owens just appears next to Zayn with this grin on his face. This was goddamn perfect. And he is of the belief that Zayn did it on purpose. He thanks Zayn. Zayn is so frustrated. He's screaming, "It wasn't like that." And he's apologizing to Cody. Just excellent. I thought this was not just a great tying in of all these different stories, and I don't mean to begrudge the fact, but this was also blocked like just so well. And I go back to that Kenny Omega moonsault on Wednesday, and it's like this stuff is really important, you know what I mean? And this was just, this shot, it told you everything here. It was just great. I thought this was so well done.
Yeah, it was really, really, really excellent. And did a great job following up with all the segments that they already laid out prior beforehand. We saw Owens and Zayn's interaction before this in a previous edition. I forget if it's SmackDown or Raw now at this point. I think it was last week's Raw, wasn't it?
We've seen Kevin Owens a lot from Saturday to I think it was Friday.
Owens and Zayn?
It was one of these shows.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But like we saw these two already interact, so we know they're not necessarily at odds with each other. We know Owens is trying to get Zayn to help him against Cody Rhodes, and you know, just seeing him like show up here in approval just kind of told you exactly what was going on through his head. And we had that interaction between Zayn and Cody earlier in the back, where we're supposed to read at least a bit of tension between Zayn towards Cody, and this was, and coupled that with the Seth Rollins warning about like another instance of friendly fire, and it's gonna, you know, I'm really gonna be suspicious of you. So a lot of attention being put on Sami Zayn right now, and the question is, will he stay good or will he turn bad?
Yeah, I just thought this was very effective, and I mean, they like, listen, I am sure a lot of people are just thinking like, you know, the ladder match is, you know, Cody's win. It's like, I don't throw out the idea of just doing a title switch here. I don't think that's like a completely far-fetched conclusion to this match. It sets up quite a lot when you have Toronto the next month and you look at just the different stories that can come out of that on top of it. But
I still don't see that happening. Not especially not after.
It's unlikely. It's unlikely.
After all they've teased with Cody, you know, and just knowing that this is the TKO and Endeavor, and this is the A Championship, I just don't necessarily think they think of Owens in that spot. Not during Mania season.
Well, so this was weird. It's like we dip to black. We come back. Zayn is now walking to the back, and he's yelling that he was sorry, and he goes to the back. We go on to McAfee and Cole, who just feel like they are just running the clock here. And they're waiting for Cody to recover. And then he finally starts speaking. And he says that he's wanted this all his life, but it's not about the physical belt, as he looks above the ring. And there magically are our undisputed title and the Winged Eagle belt. It's about the mindset and the work that makes you a champion. No one has worked more matches than me in WWE, which is true. And he's looking forward to moving past Kevin Owens, but then Cult of Personality plays and out comes CM Punk and asks if Cody, are you okay? I see that this is weighing on you. And I'm one of the people that knows what that weight is like. I held the title once for 434 days. And after around 300 days, I started to feel that weight. I lost friends. Cody, I see you losing friends. I know you want to be Bruno Sammartino or John Cena, but none of us are Superman. And Cody says, Punk, you're my friend, right? And Punk takes his time to respond, yes, that's why I'm out here. and I promise to always be your friend, partly because of a promise I made to your father, and partly because I love you. We've traveled the same road. No one could prepare you for this, Cody. There are no friends when you are a champion, and you always have a target on your back. So Cody says, well, Punk, tell me, what's next for me? Punk says that this ladder match is the biggest one of his career, but then it's on to Raw. Then it's on to SmackDown. This company, it's never been bigger, and you're spread too thin. You're never at home. And meanwhile, while you're running yourself ragged, there's somebody out there that is training, getting into the best shape of their life just so they can beat you for the title. And Cody, that's the good news. The bad news is that somebody is me. And dude, they are over Cody's shoulder reacting to this, and they do the goddamn pull focus on CM Punk, and it was great. And Cody digests this news, and Punk explains he's going to win the Rumble, and then I'm going to see you in the main event of WrestleMania, and because I'm your one true friend, I'm going to stab you in the front. Cody says, I respect you for telling me that. And he goes back to how he met Punk in OVW and how everyone there wanted to be Chick Magnet Punk. He says, you got the big call up. You won Money in the Bank. You became champion. And everyone was chasing CM Punk. Then there was a 10-year period where you sat at home. 8 years that he sat at home. And then 2 years that he, you know, just fell out of sight. Didn't know what he was up to during those 2 years. But I was still chasing you because they were still chanting your name even when you weren't here. And last year, your prediction was wrong. And the fact is, our dynamic has changed because now I'm not chasing you, you're chasing me. So Punk, I hope you win the Rumble because I want you to catch up. And Punk then says, Punk, first of all, doesn't let Cody leave. He grabs him by the arm saying, I'm not done yet. He said, there's a graveyard full of careers of men who wanted me to catch up to them. And then as he goes to leave, Cody grabs him by the arm and says, I want you to catch up to me because I want to see the look on your face when you learn that the best in the world isn't the best in the world anymore. And so ended just a phenomenal segment on what I thought was a just excellent go home episode of Raw. This segment was just perfect. It was so good.
It was excellent. I love that the dynamic that these two share. It's essentially like big brother, younger brother, you know, and they gave us plenty of history for it, dating back to their real histories in OVW, through the WWE, and through Dusty, of course. Cody, who we usually see in such a like dominant leadership type of role, I love how he started this particular segment so disheveled from the Huluva kick, where he
sounded drunk at certain points.
Exactly. It needed him to essentially sound drunk, which is very uncharacteristic of how we usually hear Cody. But in contrast to CM Punk in this segment sounding like that leader, I thought it just like emphasized maybe the gulf between, you know, Cody being the younger brother and CM Punk being the older brother in this particular moment. And it sets the stage for Punk to deliver this like wonderful big brother pep talk. Hey, are you okay? It looks like you have a lot of, you know, pressure on your shoulders. I've been through it. This is, you know, like I should have prepared for this for you better. And what I love about it is that Cody, even while in his drunken state, can see through it. And he knows that Punk's true motivations for coming out here are to antagonize him. And then Cody just turns the drunken voice off and he comes back with this beautiful retort. Back then we were chasing you, but now you're chasing me. That's the difference. And I loved it. I love the just interplay between the two characters here and their histories. And again, Cody is such a special babyface because he can sound above the person he's talking against, even when it's somebody as cool as CM Punk. He finds a way to sound cooler than CM Punk. I also love that they could have gone for the low-hanging fruit and made some sort of AEW reference here. I love the fact that they did not intentionally do that. they didn't need to, because I think it would have only distracted. It might have created a bit of like oohs and ahs and got the internet talking, but like I think they're above that, you know, and just relied on great storytelling and gave us another big match direction for Mania. So after all of this talk about Roman and Punk or Cena and Cody being the matches that we're expecting at Mania, now they like put all of this emphasis on Punk and Cody, which I mean, coming off of this Raw, to me now seems to be the leading contender for the result that we might get at WrestleMania.
They've thrown all these irons in the fire that they cannot deliver on all of the teases that they have done, at least not in that time frame. But this is all stuff that I think is going to make for a wonderful dynamic in this Rumble. And yes, let's remember, of all these different, like, Cena has not been attached to any of the, like, Cena is on his own just going for this title one more time track as well. So you have like just all these different scenarios that you have thrown out, and you can play with a lot of them. Like, you
yeah, and if we're not getting half of these matches that they're teasing by Mania, well, they still have a lot of big shows this year that they could fill with Mania-level main events, of which they've built up like substantial interest in several now. You know, we mentioned Punk and Roman. We mentioned, well, Cody and Cena, which the audience is really just kind of booking for themselves. But now Punk and Cody, like, when you have acts that are this popular, any mixing and matching of any of them is going to feel like a WrestleMania level caliber event. So they did just such a great job, especially towards the wrong they're going.
Well, there you go. That was Raw. I thought an excellent episode overall. Like, in terms of what a go home show should be, I think they really hit it out of the park with this show. And
with the exception of the women, which we've had. Really,
no, listen, like this show is very much being sold on the men's Rumble and the ladder match, and I've got to say, like, the women's Rumble, like, it's being sold on the fact it's another Rumble match, and I think coming out of it, you'll have, you know, it should. Like, you'll get into, hopefully, the excitement of the match, but like the stories going into it, like you have heard nothing approximating any of the various motivations that all of these male performers have laid out. And you're not thinking of all these different scenarios on the women's side. You're looking at like whoever wins. And then we're going to start the storytelling after the Rumble. It's really being leaning on the name and the concept of the Rumble for the women's side. That's very unfortunate. Like, you have all this time and they have gone incredibly heavy on the men's buildup, and the women's matches greatly lacked in comparison. Let us move on, and we are going to say goodbye to everybody that is out there on the YouTube channel. We will make you aware of the fact that we are live every single Monday after Raw. If you are so inclined, jump on board at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL, and then you can get the entire show with the news. And on today's news pack, we did go through the passing of Colonel DeBeers, Ed Wiskoski. We also chatted about Jordan Grace's signing with WWE, as well going through the search for AEW Grand Slam Australia. We have our flashlights on trying to learn more about this this very, very mysterious show, and going through some ratings notes, as well as WWE programming on A&E, and of course, the mystery of Omos's GHC tag title reign coming to an end over the weekend in Pro Wrestling NOAH fashion. So all of that and more on the news, and later on this week, Wei will be back with the wellness policy on Thursday.
That's right. Yeah. Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern time at youtube.com/postwrestling. We will be discussing a topic and we will be revealing it on Wednesday. So join us on the Thursday edition. Also wanted to take the time to discuss February. We have a lot of offerings coming up, including several editions of Rewind Away, one with us talking about Bret Hart's heel turn from 1996 to 1997. Also one talking about NXT TakeOver New Orleans featuring Gargano versus Ciampa and their unsanctioned match. We've got a review of New Beginning in Osaka with Bruce and Karen talking about Hiroki Goto going for the IWGP Championship. Also that card featuring Young Bucks versus LIJ. I will be reviewing with Kate, talking about AEW Grand Slam Australia. That will be a cafe exclusive show. And MCU later will be back, of course, talking about Captain America, Brave New World.
And your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man featuring the voice of one Big E.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
So lots of crossover coming to MCU later. So $6 a month. It gets you 30 days of access. And February is a great month where you can check out a lot of the extra stuff we are doing. Plus, your cafe access gives you the chance to watch Rewind a Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown live as soon as each show ends, comes with the news, feedback and questions, and a whole lot of fun on the Post Wrestling Cafe, which is where we are going to be continuing as we chat your questions and feedback to Raw. This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind a Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. PostWrestlingCafe.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.